Sairam listeners, and welcome to Radio Sai Answering Booth, the place where you can drop your questions about practical spirituality, and I will be coming up with answers for them. And this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and I will be doing so with prayers to Swami, of course. So before going any further, a very happy Krishna Janmashtami to each one of you, and that also explains why we are starting today's program almost half an hour late. The program in the Mandir got delayed by 45 minutes. So we're catching up, so 11:30 is what we're starting instead of 11. So let us begin the program by offering our most loving gratitude to the feet of our most beloved Sai Krishna, who has given answers to all questions that arise in our mind and all the questions we could ever have. We only have to look into his discourses, dear listeners. It has happened to me so many times when I'm reading some general literature and I'm interested in the theme, I would like to read more about it, and I will end up finding the most clear explanation in Swami's discourses. And isn't that why Swami named his monthly magazine the Sanatan Sarathi? He is that very same Krishna who cleared all the doubts of Arjuna, and he is here to clear all our doubts. And as I always say on this program, what's important is we should want to know, and it all starts with questions that arise in our minds. And this is a program where we encourage such questions on practical spirituality. On today's show, we have just one question we're going to deal with. It's quite a long one, and it covers a lot of issues relating to spirituality in workplace. But before that, I want to read for you a beautiful quote on how we must all work. Again, the writer is one of my all-time favorites, and I'm sure he's a favorite of many of you listeners too. He is the Lebanese writer Khalil Gibran, and the quote is from his most famous work, The Prophet. And the quote is as follows. You have been told life is darkness, and in your weariness you echo what was said by the weary. And I say that life is indeed darkness, say when there is urge. And all urge is blind, say when there is knowledge. And all knowledge is vain, say when there is work. And all work is empty, save when there is love. And when you work with love, you bind yourself to yourself and to one another and to God. And what is it to work with love? It is to weave the cloth with threads drawn from your heart, even as if your beloved were to wear the cloth. It is to build a house with affection, even as if your beloved were to dwell in that house. It is to sow seeds with tenderness and reap the harvest with joy, even as if your beloved were to eat the fruit. It is to charge all things you fashion with the breath of your own spirit. End of quote. Isn't that such a beautiful quote? And so profound, isn't it, dear listeners? I really have to hold myself back, for it's too tempting to go into that quote. But I'll keep it down to just a few remarks. He speaks here of urge, and without that, life is completely dull. You know, Swami would often speak of the quality of utsaham or enthusiasm as the first virtue a devotee must have. Spirituality is not sloth and dullness, but it is pure energy and the most adventurous of all adventures, and we should have that utsaham. But backing that enthusiasm must be knowledge, and knowledge is dry and lifeless without love. And when this love finds expression in the work we do, Gibran says, you will bind yourself to yourself first. You will not be bound by anyone or anything. In the last few lines of that quote, he explains with what attitude we can do various works so that it transforms work into worship, as Swami would want us to. Well, after reading that quote, I'm wondering, maybe I shouldn't have read that quote, because it covers most of what I wanted to explain as part of the answer to today's question. Well, isn't that a sign of a great thinker? Gibran has put in few lines what I'm going to take a while to explain. Nevertheless, let's move to the question of the day. The question is from a listener, Sister Vijay Lakshmi. I'll have one of our volunteers to read it out for us first. Let's see what answer we can come up with for the question.
I have a few questions on ethics at the workplace. I wanted to strictly lead a righteous life while I had a job in the IT industry. There would often be periods when there was no work or not enough work. Rarely would I have to overwork, but the salary would be the same. Though money is always welcome by all, I used to feel guilty taking salary without doing as much work. I used to feel that I am enjoying someone else's hard work, as there were a lot of my colleagues who had to slog a lot. I also felt that maybe I should have taken up more responsibilities in accordance to my seniority, but I resisted as I didn't want life to become work alone. I wanted a slice of life for myself and for my mother too. Also, being soft by nature, I didn't want to take up leadership roles as that would require being tough with the team, which I wouldn't have been happy doing. I also never took the appraisals seriously as they were not important to me. I hated them. I wanted to work only for the sake of work. As a result, I always got an average rating. As I am also not a person who would please the boss to get a good rating. I also didn't want to make myself marketable. I wanted to remain as natural and ethical as possible. Due to such reasons, my company decided that I was not fit for an IT job, and so when they were laying off employees, I was also let go. I lost my job. I am quite happy that I lost the job because now I am peaceful and have no pricking conscience. But I always wonder if I am doing the right thing by retiring from my career at an age as early as 45. It is also true that I am not able to find a job. I have also not saved much, so I am not sure how I am financially positioned. I have developed a don't care attitude, actually. I request you to please share your views on what my attitude should have been given the situation I was placed in and my state of mind, and what my attitude should be as of today. Thanks and regards, Vijayalakshmi.
Thank you, Sister Vijayalakshmi, for writing to us. There are many aspects to the question, and I feel we can pick out the basic issues, and that way even the other listeners who may not be in the exact same situation may be able to relate to it if they're going through something quite similar. Let's see if we can, as I said, highlight those issues as they appear in that question. Number one, what do we do when we get this feeling that we are getting paid more than the amount of work we do? Number two, should I be taking more responsibilities? What if it consumes all my time? Number three, I'm a very soft person, so maybe leadership roles are not for me. Number four, I did not like to work for appraisals or for pleasing the boss, and so I ended up getting poor ratings. Number five, I'm happy I lost my job, but is it right that I'm happy about it? And number six, the final one, should I be happy not having a job, or should I try for another one? Okay, let's start with the first issue. What do we do when we get this feeling that we are getting paid more than the amount of work we do? I think to an extent, we had dealt with it in the previous episode, but I will try to explain this concept of correlation between work and pay through another example. Last week, while answering the question from Brother Mahidhar, I was explaining about how we must decouple work we do from the recognition, decouple the work that we do from recognition, but it is similar to this situation in some ways. I would like to now make a reference to a system from ancient India, what is popularly called the Varna system. Well, I do understand that we all know it is a very much maligned system, but I feel that's because of the decay in the concept went through, more than because of the decay, because of the concept itself. At least I would like to think that way. Okay, the Varna system basically divides the society into four categories. the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. But it later came down to calling these as castes and being followed strictly on the basis of lineage or to which parents you were born and so on. But these were not divisions made with relationship to birth, in fact. You know, once Swami told one of the students, it was a little light-hearted interaction, he said, he looked at the student and said, hey, you are a Donga Brahmin, meaning that you are a fake Brahmin. And that boy was surprised and, you know, he started protesting, saying, no, Swami, I'm born in a real Brahmin family. And Swami said, so what? If your father is an IAS officer, do you also become an IAS officer by birth? Only if you study and clear the relevant exams, you become an IAS officer, isn't it? Same is the case with being a Brahmin too. In fact, dear listeners, that was actually a very perfect explanation for this student because his father was really an IAS officer. So certainly it's not by birth that one falls under any of these categories. Maybe as some say, it is based on the type of work that one does. If you're a warrior, you're a Kshatriya. If you become a scholar or a teacher, you're a Brahmin. If you do labor, you're a Shudra and so on. But I would like to differ a little bit here. I feel these Varna classifications is not even based on the type of work one does, but it is based on one's approach to work itself. Let me try to explain that. But before that, let me mention the hierarchy for those who may not be familiar with this. The highest of the four is supposed to be the Brahmins. Then come the Kshatriyas. The third is the Vaishyas. And the last is the Shudras. So let's go bottom up. What is the approach of work when it comes to the Shudras? The people who fell under this category were typically laborers or those who would work for a daily wage or would be paid when they do their work. So if you pay them, they will work. On the day they don't work, they don't have a pay. So there is a perfect and direct relationship between their pay and work. So what is the approach to work here? I work for pay, right? My every manual work should directly convert into money. And this approach was considered the lowest in the society. And this was the Shudra approach. It is still not bad because the worst would be not to work equivalent to the pay we get, right? But about the next level, the Vaishyas, let's come to that. Once again, let me clarify, I'm not referring to any community as we see them today. I'm talking about the concept itself. The Vaishyas are typically seen as the business community. So what is their approach to work? Sometimes they invest their effort and money into things which don't pay them back immediately, right? So this class sometimes does more work than expected, but there is always the eye on the returns, typically like a businessman. Since this calls for a little more intelligence, this approach to work is slightly superior. Now coming to the Kshatriyas. We know Kshatriyas are the ruling class, kings and queens. But a Kshatriya will always hold one's honor as most important. Almost whatever a Kshatriya does will be for the sake of honor. And if there is a choice between wealth or even life and honor, a Kshatriya is always known to choose honor. So the third approach is one works, gets money, but this person will work more for his or her honor and self-respect. Money plays a very, very small part in it. One of the features of this approach will be sometimes there will be very, very strong streak of competitiveness in them. These people will not be offended if their pay is low, but will be more offended if comparatively their pay is low or they do not get the recognition or respect that is due to them. It may be awards, promotions or whatever it is. So you see, even working for recognition or for self-respect and what others think of us is good, but it is still not the best. Now we come to the Brahmins. This class is supposed to be the most respected. Even the rich businessmen and the kings of the land are supposed to respect these Brahmins. So what is the approach to work a Brahmin is supposed to have? The Brahmin is one who does what he is supposed to do perfectly and sincerely, whether or not he is paid. They would say, you know, a Brahmin should never store food, save for the future and such things. And he's supposed to be supported and taken care by the society. He will not in that sense earn his livelihood. He will do his work and the society in turn will take care of him. In other words, a Brahmin will work wholeheartedly and his welfare will be God's headache. He completely decouples work from remuneration. And that approach to work is the highest and is most noble. And why is this most superior? Because this person will work for self-satisfaction and not for the pay or respect or recognition or promotions. And needless to say, this way of working is the best. And you know, Swami would quote a verse from our scriptures that says that all of us are actually born as Shudras, but we strive and become Brahmins. In fact, the verse goes, Janmana jayate Shudraha, samskarat dvija uchyate. By birth, everyone is a Shudra, but through samskara or culturing, one becomes a dvija or a Brahmin. So in our work, our aim should be to move towards this Brahmin's approach of working purely for self-satisfaction. Now, specifically to this question of, am I working enough? I would only say there is no better way to know than this feeling of satisfaction that we feel within. Now, many times I've experienced this myself. Say we've had something like 2 or 3 meetings and we've not been able to do enough work. You know, you'll be left with this feeling of emptiness and restlessness. But there'll be other days, there will be this feeling of immense satisfaction of having done real good amount of work. I'm sure we all have gone through this feeling at some time or the other during our work life. So as you were saying, if there are other people in your office, sister, having more work, probably you can go and help them. Take up some work which probably no one expects of you, but you do it only for your own satisfaction. This will help in two ways. One is, the more work you fill your day with, the more you will be free of this guilt. And every bit of work that we do, expecting absolutely nothing in return, will add so much more to our self-satisfaction. Actually speaking, that is why we do seva, right? We serve people without expecting anything in return. But the way forward for all of us as spiritual aspirants is to replicate and import that attitude that makes seva special into everyday activities. What we do at work and what we do at home. Isn't that how our, you know, if you look at our grandmothers and even our mothers who were homemakers, how did they live? You know, for them there was no concept of remuneration. But every moment they were living and doing things for others, and so effortlessly they were self-satisfied. So do more work, and more the work you do is selfless, more free you will be from this feeling of guilt. You will go home with this feeling, my time was useful for someone at least. So in general, if we can master this art of detaching work we do from the pay, even regular work would become seva. So even at work, can we work with the feeling that my time has to be useful to the society, and it is just incidental that I'm getting a pay for it. Like the Brahmins who think, I'm serving society and God, through the society, is taking care of me. Well, now coming to the next few questions. What we'll do is, we'll try and look at all of them in the light of the above discussion that we have just had. In fact, whatever we have discussed above can be used each time we want to make a decision which is similar to the question which has come to us. Let's say the question you've asked, Sister Vijayalakshmi. So, should you take more responsibilities? You taking more responsibilities, I would say, will that be more helpful for the team? With your experience, is it going to benefit them if you take more responsibilities? If the answer to that question is yes, even if it means you stretching yourself a bit, I think you can take it up. Don't wonder, is it worth it? Will it give me more monetary benefits? Will it help me in my career and so on? Just ask yourself, will it help my team? I know none of us are, you know, going to wake up one day and start thinking this way, but at least we know that this is our direction, right? So even if we fail and if we fall, you know which direction to head after you get up, right? Isn't that true? Now I'll come to the point of not working to please the boss or with appraisals in mind. So I've done, the point of not working to please the boss or with appraisals and promotions in mind, and as a result, I've done badly. One quick point, If you're feeling absolutely no guilt about not doing well in appraisals, then no problem. But if somewhere you feel bad about it, maybe the fact is you could have done better at your work. And this sister, you are the best judge. Sitting here, it will be very difficult for me to point that out. This scenario, especially about, you know, work and appraisals, is like what we used to go through in our schools, in a way. You know, the exams are held in the end of the semester or end of the year, and the idea of the exam is to test how well we have learned the subject during the semester, right? But sometimes our learning itself becomes exam-centric. From the beginning of the year, we are learning and studying with the idea of how am I going to crack the exams. We all will agree that this is a very, very bad approach to studies. But we all have done this to some extent, and we all do well in exams as a result. This doing work in one's workplace with appraisals in mind and pleasing the boss to do well at such appraisals, these are similar to exam-centric study. But let's say I'm a good student. I've always been regular in attending classes, I've done my homework regularly, and I concentrate when the teacher is teaching. You tell me, will I do well in the exams or not? I agree, sometimes a good student will not do as well in exams as a student who does exam-centric study. Sometimes it does happen, but you will definitely agree with me when I say a good student will always not fail and definitely shine over a period of time. So certainly you're right in not working with appraisals and promotions in mind, not pleasing the boss for the sake of these appraisals, but that is no reason why one should do poorly in such appraisals, isn't it? Now there's one confusion that we all have to be, you know, we all need to be very aware of. There is a very, very subtle difference between detachment and indifference, and that is very, very critical for a spiritual aspirant. I'll not go into the details completely, probably on some other occasion when we get an appropriate question, we'll go into that. I'll definitely make a remark before I end this answer. But right now I'll only like to say this much. Detachment in work will always show as excellence. It's only indifference that will show as poor results. It's a very good way we can measure our own attitude. So as I said, the more we move towards that Brahmin-like approach to work, the more detached we will be and more perfect our work will also become. Now I'd like to come to the point you made about how you were not ready for leadership roles because by nature you are a soft person, right? This again I would like to discuss in general in connection with another thing you mentioned in your question. In fact, you started the question with that, saying you always wanted to lead a righteous and ethical life in the corporate world, right? First of all, we should appreciate that thought itself, because that is the starting point for leading a spiritual life. You should want to lead an ethical life, as Swami would say. But you know, most of us are pretty ethical when we are left alone. Our ethics get really tested only when put in a situation like what you just mentioned. For example, I may not be a person who works for promotions and recognition, say. I sincerely do my work and I'm, you know, whatever is given to me, I do it sincerely. But if I'm put in an environment where people are getting recognized without doing work, if undeserving people get picked up for promotions, in that scenario, will I still hold on to my work ethics, or will there be a dip in the standards I set for myself? You see, that's where our ethics get tested. So if we want our goodness to be tested, we must welcome such situations. Coming to the particular point that you made, that you did not want to take up leadership roles because you are a soft person by nature. I'm not saying it is wrong. We all have our preferences and there is nothing wrong in that. But maybe the next time when a situation like this comes, you can challenge yourself. Are you able to maintain your softness and friendliness even when you are given a leadership role? Are you able to be firm without being rude? I'm saying this because this is exactly what Swami would do to us all the time. You know, if we have a fear or apprehension about something, Swami will put us exactly through that so that, you know, it'll give us an opportunity to overcome it. So maybe the next time any such situation comes, you could, you know, probably just keep it in the back of your mind and try it out. Coming now to the final points, you have left the job and feel a sense of relief now. But you also feel, is it right what you did? Because you said it's quite early in your career that you have decided to quit your job. this is a very, very classic dilemma that we all face. You know, in devotion, we say we should have the attitude, whatever happens is good for me. So in a situation like this, like I've lost my job and I say, I'm cool about it, no problem. You know, everything happens for good. And I kind of resign to my fate. The question is, with such an attitude, will I have the drive to strive further? The beginning of the program, we spoke about urge being the starting point, right? That enthusiasm being the starting point. So if we resign to our fate this way, will we have the right attitude to strive when it is needed? And the other thing is, what I recall from a conversation I once had with a senior of mine, how do we know if we are really sattvic or spiritual, if I could translate it that way, or we are covering our tamas or laziness with the cloak of sattva? Hope you all follow that. That's a very, very important question on of self-inquiry. How do we know if we are really sattvic or we are covering our tamas with the cloak of sattva? I would like to discuss this point again in two ways. One, specific to the question, and the other, a little bit in general. Specific to the question first. Sister Vijayalakshmi, if it is a happiness that comes out of surrender and wisdom, you will not be attached to your state of not having a job right now. And I think this will also answer the question if you should take up another job. What I would say is look around you, assess your situation, especially your family's situation. Does it call for you to take another job? Will you be serving those around you better by taking a job and earning, or will you be able to serve them as much by staying at home and caring for the family? Based on this, decide if you want to work or not. And if either way you find the same happiness, if you feel staying at home, I'm happy. I get a job and I go for this job and I work every day. Even then I'm happy. Then I would say the sense of happiness you feel comes out of wisdom and surrender, and I dare say it is here to stay. Now the general point I wanted to make about that concept. We call detachment as vairagya in Sanskrit, right? And this vairagya can come to us in two ways. Through virakti or disgust, and tripti or satisfaction or contentment. The vairagya that comes through disgust or failure, which is something we all feel quite often in fact, is very, very fleeting. It comes and goes. The disappointment is hidden inside. It's like that, you know, the popular story from the Aesop's fables we all have, heard and so many times in our childhood, the story of the fox and the grapes. So sometimes we end up covering our laziness, disappointment and failure with a pseudo-spiritual attitude. But true vairagya comes from tripti or satisfaction. How do you know if it is this vairagya? Again, it's the happiness and satisfaction and the sense of peace that we feel inside. But till then, we can continue to do what we are doing. That is, keep telling yourself, whatever is happening is good for me. Swami would explain, you know, very, very beautifully that this act of telling whatever happens is good for me is like stepping on the clutch of a car while shifting gears from happiness to sorrow, from success to failure. He would say that it eases that transition. So keep asking yourself, what is the need of the hour in your situation? Based on the needs of those around you, do what that calls for and continue to be happy, maintaining calm, using this tool, whatever happens is good for me. So I think that's all I had to say about this question. So maybe we'll quickly give a summary of whatever we've discussed. We are trying to evolve the way we approach work from the Shudra approach, where we always equate work to money, high up to the Brahmin approach, where I do to perfection what I'm supposed to do. My upkeep is God's headache, and He will feed me through the society. A disclaimer, if you just tuned into the program, you could be appalled by that statement of mine. Be like a Brahmin, don't be like a Shudra. What I said has no reference to the communities as we know them today, but an attitude towards work based on which these categories were made in the first place. Then we saw how the more we do work for self-satisfaction, the more fulfillment we will find, And that self-satisfaction, interestingly, is easier to obtain when we do work selflessly. The more we feel my time is worthwhile for more people than just me, we will find more happiness and satisfaction. Then we discussed about the difference between detachment in work and indifference in work. Indifference will show as sloppiness in work, but detachment will invariably show as excellence. And it is completely up to us to do a self-audit to see if we are really detached or we are indifferent. One thing I can think of is we can be indifferent to the results of our work, the recognition that comes and the appraisals, but being indifferent towards our roles and responsibilities is what is really wrong. And I think that is itself the difference between detachment and indifference. Then there was the question of, should I take up leadership roles? And I said maybe it is a good thing to test ourselves once in a while to see if our good nature remains unchanged when put in different situations, when given power, when put under pressure and so on. When our focus is on spiritual progress, I think we must develop this attitude of looking at everything that happens around us as part of the process to evolve spiritually or an opportunity to evolve spiritually. Finally, all of us risk this nature of doing things out of fear and disappointment and imagine for ourselves that it is a spiritual act or an act of surrender. Again, we alone are the best judges for that. Why? Because the surest way to know the difference is through seeing how happy we really are. Surrender will always lead to happiness. If we are using the attitude of resignation to escape our duties and responsibilities, certainly it's not right. But we can always try to use this tool of telling ourselves, whatever happens to me is good for me. So that is the elaborate answer that I wanted to give for the question from Sister Vijayalakshmi, but I hope you all will agree with me that when I say that the question called for a detailed response. Thanks to the sister for a question that covers so many aspects of work life. I hope you found some interesting tips that you could work on and you can pick from the discussion we just had. If you have anything more to ask or any clarifications about what I said, you can write to me. And my mail ID is prem@radiosai.org. That's prem@radiosai.org. So with that, dear listeners, we come to the end of this week's answering booth. So hope you found the question very interesting. I found the question very interesting. I hope the answer was suitable and appropriate too. If you have any questions like this about practical spirituality, about how do you practice Swami's message in our day-to-day life, it's not about pure spirituality. Please don't ask me philosophical questions about Advaita or any such concept. If you have any questions regarding practical spirituality, you can always send in your question to me. I welcome mails directly to my mail ID, that's prem@radiosai.org. If you could record it in your own voice, that would be fantastic. I could play your question in your voice and then try to answer that question. So with that, dear listeners, I'll have to let you go, but I'm going to come back in about half an hour's time. That's a very short time. Till then, you're going to listen to a segment from our Service in the Name of Sai segment. So very, very shortly, I'll be back with you for the afternoon satsang. Today is Krishna Janmashtami, so definitely our satsang has got to be about Lord Krishna, and it indeed is. So do join me at 12:30. I'll be here with Arvind for the afternoon satsang. Thank you for being with me on this show. With much gratitude and humility, I offer the show at Swami's lotus feet.
To Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. 8:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
काश तू है बाबा यश भी तुम्हारे प्राण हमारे शरण सारथी तू बाबा शंख मैं हूँ तुम्हारा आवाज ते प्यारा शंख मैं हूँ तुम्हारा।